Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning to the ghosts in the abandoned cabin up near the tree line. Good morning to the goblins that live underground beneath the Puget Sound. Good morning to Bigfoot. Good morning to Papa Bear. Good morning to the owl and the seagull and every little creature that's there. We care about you at Seaflow. Because it is May the 10th, 2026, almost 10 a.m. here on the Olympic Peninsula. This first article comes from ABC News. It was published on May the 7th and written by, Rachel Scott. Headline, right? Trump calls Iran strikes a love tap, says ceasefire still in effect. Written by Rachel Scott. President Donald Trump said Thursday that attacks on Iran after it targeted U.S. destroyers in the Strait of Hormuz were a love tap, and said the ceasefire between the two countries is still in effect. It's just a love tap, Trump told ABC News' Rachel Scott when asked about the strike. Asked if the exchange meant the ceasefire, which began a month ago, was over, Trump responded, no. The ceasefire's going. It's in effect. Trump later reiterated his threat for Iran to agree to make a deal to restart negotiations to end the war or face attacks again. Just like we knock them out again today, we'll knock them out a lot harder and a lot more violently in the future if they don't get their deal signed fast, Trump said on his social media platform. The U.S. Central Command said it conducted a self-defense strikes against Iranian targets after Iran fired at U.S. destroyers transiting the Strait of Hormuz. U.S. forces intercepted unprovoked Iranian attacks and responded with self-defense strikes as U.S. Navy-guided missile destroyers transited the Strait of Hormuz to the Gulf of Oman, CENTCOM said in a statement. No U.S. assets were struck, it said. CENTCOM said the U.S. Truxton, excuse me, the USS Truxton, excuse me, the USS Family Truxter, and the USS Rafael Peralto on stage next week at the strip club, and the USS Mason Jar, filled with all kinds of whiskey, were transiting the strait on Thursday when Iranian forces launched multiple missiles, drones, and small boats. In response, U.S. forces targeted Iranian military facilities responsible for blah, 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 blah. Yeah, that's your news about love taps. And I'd like to thank you. I want to thank all of you. I need to drink a little water here. I want to thank you for your attention to this matter. I want to thank you for your attention to this fucking matter. You need to know that this matters a lot to me, bro. And I want to thank you for your attention to this fucking matter. Scrib freaks, eating coop spice, selling black rice. You need to stop it. Stop it now. Stop it now, stop it now. We'll harvest you like a little red cow. Thank you for your attention to this fucking matter. Modern whore sluts, you know who you are, nutting about looking for snout, selling their boovula for a little more time. Your slime is done, whore slut. So over. You're so over. You're so basic. Get over, Clover. Stop your Drano or go insano. Thank you for your attention to this matter. Road crews, I see you out there, 17 of you doing a job one person can do. Yeah, that's not lasting much longer, Mr. and Mrs. America. Road crews, spreading tar, spreading ooze. 10 men doing one man's job, they ain't slobs. They selling drugs, not hugs, to the chugs. The ones along the way, it's okay, bro. It's okay. Keep being that mega you, true blue, basic, whore slut, piece of shit. Thank you for your attention to this matter. 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 We're ready to fight, buddy. We're out there ready to fight. The world embraces night for any given slight or insult or word. We're not turds, we're mega men of the future. We made a decision to vote for Trump not just once, not just twice, but 3 times. Thank you for your attention to this matter. Thank you for your attention to this matter. Thank you, buddy. It may sound nutty, but I want to thank you, pal, for your attention to this matter. Good morning. Fuck you. I love you. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles, if you really want to know. Someone needs to unplug the world, toss an M80 in it, then plug it back in again. Someone needs to unplug the world, hit it with a hammer or two, maybe push it down a hill, and then plug it back in again. Someone needs to unplug the world, maybe, I don't know, toss it into the ancient sea, let it be stung by bumblebees. Let it get the whore disease from any kind of trumpety blump, because you know that whole family linear tree has incurable multi-generational super herpes. Give the world the Trumpian super herpes, unplug it, and then plug it back in again, because something's wrong. Some say in the year 2007, there were monkey priests hanging out in Switzerland. They had a magical key to the ancient tree and the world sea. As it roiled and boiled, they turned on the LHC and watched the particles coil. And then something happened at that great place, CERN, and the whole timeline started to burn. Someone needs to unplug the world, toss an M80 into it, and then plug it back in again. Dr. Freckles. I think a lot of us have felt that way, and it's not recent. I remember 10 years ago, things going on that I could observe with my own eyes, that I could experience, things I could see happening right outside my window on the 8th floor of Riley Towers. And it didn't add up. And at the time, I would have written it off to, okay, this is post-divorce angst. This is being lonely in your 40s. This is having one dumb job and no other dumb things to do. I had my podcast at the time, but it really was about the same as today, which means not very successful. I don't know why I kept doing it. It's kind of crazy. I got one or two space-time trolls from the other dimension who show up telling me that I need to just keep it up. Don't stop, Dan. But on the other hand, the same shitheads sometimes tell me other things. Like demons whispering in your ear. But that's crazy, Dan. You're crazy, I know. I know. This entry comes from warfarehistorynetwork.com, and it deals with something called the Phony War. It was published in October 2010 by Michael Hull. Within hours of the entry of Great Britain and France and the blah, 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 allied in action, blah, blah, blah. They called it the Sitzkrieg, blah, blah, blah. Here's the deal. From September of 1939, when World War II started, to roughly, let's say, April, May of 1940, other than various skirmishes, to include Soviet actions in the East and the West and some German actions that were rather minor, the war itself, World War II, didn't seem to be doing anything. They called it the Phony War. It lasted a little more than half a year. It lasted nearly into the summer of 1940, which again, if it had lasted all the way to September, it would have been a year without the war really doing much of anything. That doesn't mean there weren't actions. There were naval actions. Things got sunk. It wasn't completely quiet, but it was on pause. A few weeks ago, really more like a week ago, I talked about this idea that the Iranians had the initiative, and they did have the initiative. If you ask me, they had all the ability to dictate what was going to happen next. Is it a dangerous situation to find yourself in when you have the initiative against a sociopathic empire? Absolutely, because you don't really know what they're going to do. But I think they've come to the realization that that's a distinction without a difference, which means that we are just as sociopathic if they do nothing. And in reality, the path, the Gaddafi path, the Saddam Hussein path, the Venezuelan, Manuel Noriega, the list is long of the various straw people we've created in order to topple them. The Iranians know what happens next. They're 100% clear on this. If they do nothing, eventually they get strangled to death. And this is the grifter war. The United States is not prepared for a missile war against Iran. The Iranians showed that. But we're 100%, along with the State of Israel, the best, the penultimate grifters in human history. We are 100% good at the con. And the longer this Sitzkrieg lasts, the longer the phony war lasts, the more likely the Iranian situation gets worse. Because here's the deal. We're grifters. We'll make a deal with China. We'll make a deal with Russia. We'll make a deal with Iran's so-called allies. And whether you like it or not, Iran, you live in the great sea, the public sea, the political sea of intrigue and failure. And your friends today are your enemies tomorrow. So yeah, this is weird. The fact that they've decided to sort of hold off is rather strange. And people will say, well, Dan, no, they got to build up more missiles. Really? In July, late July of 1941, there were no Red Army divisions between Heinz Guderian's Panzer Force at the tip of Army Group Center and Moscow. None. It wasn't one division or a brigade here. The Soviet Red Army and strategic forces had completely collapsed in the West. Yes, they had divisions in the East. It was going to take a few months to get them back out west again, even with the rail lines functioning. And the further the aerodromes of the Luftwaffe pushed into Russia, the more likely those railroad lines would not be functioning. The German army, 1 month in the Barbarossa, had the ability to take out the Soviet Union. And what did Hitler do? Did Hitler push the initiative? Did he decide to take the Moscow Gorky mobilization space, which would have effectively, defeated the Soviet Union, at least the portion of it that's kind of in Europe? And Stalin would have been forced past the Urals. And that would have been it for the Soviet Union for the rest of the war. What people don't realize is that after 1941, three-quarters of the German economy, three-quarters of the technology, three-quarters of everything the Germans produced went to the Eastern Front. That's it. 75%, all of it went to the Eastern Front after 41. If they had ended the war the way they had fought every other war up until that point, which means fast, blitzkrieg, quick, they could have effectively neutered what was left of the Soviet Union by the end of 1941. Hitler and the German army had the initiative, and they stopped. Now, there are lots of theories as to why they did it. Some people think it's because Hitler learned his lessons on the Western Front during World War I, and he had what was called a siege mentality, which means he was a hoarder. He was not interested in victory as much as he was interested in doing things like taking the Ukraine, or taking the oil, or taking a physical structure. What he should have done is defeated the Soviet Union strategically, but he was more interested in taking and stealing shit. And that's kind of the siege mentality, the hoarder, not so strategically deep mentality. And that's one of the reasons why the Germans lost the war. I can't tell you what the Iranians are waiting for. Supposedly, as of today, they have once again declared that if the United States does any funny business, they're going to attack our bases and whatnot. But at a certain point, if they don't actually start doing that again to some extent, then people are going to wonder what the hell's going on. The fact that they're not threatening the state of Israel much now also looks weird. But again, this could be censorship. This could be control of the media. We don't really know. We don't know what's going on in the state of Israel. If you ask me, the situation for them is quite dire. And if they actually have nuclear weapons, then if this is an organic conflict, there's a lot of ifs here, folks, because I don't really believe this is organic. I think at a certain level, this is just as contrived as the Ukraine war, which means the real purpose is something most people won't figure out ever, and some people will figure out too fucking late. And as of now, really, as of 10 years ago, it was too late. If you had figured this all out 10 years ago, it was almost too late. If you're figuring it out right now, it's too late. If you're going to put your house up for sale and you live in a city, good fucking luck. Because even if you can get that money to someplace else, where are you going? And how much time are you going to have to build roots? Because you're going to have to build roots. You're going to have to build social capital. People are going to have to recognize you as a neighbor. And showing up at the last minute, it's not always the best way to show up. So right now, it's kind of too late. And you could never have been too early for what's coming. As you well know, we've established a new republic based on the principles of Dr. Freckles' Global Tontine Club, which you can learn more about at dfgtc.org if you care, all six or seven of you. This new organization is based on a thesis that if we took wild tigers, insane and crazy polar bears, mad grizzlies, various types of mutant sharks, which we would put in the sewers, along with crocodiles, that if we reintroduced these predators to the city, to the urban life, if we reintroduce these wild and crazy creatures, they would spice things up. They would help us with all of our problems, including the homeless problem. And the homeless would become battle-hardened, the warriors of the future. Keeping things kind of safe, sort of, until Friday night, when the various drifter folks from Happy Town, the metrosexuals, the various types of hip folk hit the streets at night, go to the club, they'll have to carry a fucking sword or pike, perhaps even nunchucks. But in order for the Republic of Tigers and Bears, ROTAB, to be created, there's stuff that has to be done. This situation in the Strait of Hormuz, which we call the Strait of Hookers, it's got to be resolved, because right now, if you look at the diagrams posted in the notes, there's a zone that's infested with herpes. We got to do something about that. There's Hooker Blow Road, which we have to take over as ROTAB. The Iranians can't have it. And then there's the Anal Highway, which the Trump Mega Men and the Zio Freaks really want to keep control of, if you know what I mean. So this is a war action alert message. This is a war action alert message. All Troglon-type Bergerzeeds need to be ready for the final assault. It's coming. We've taken four islands east of Hawaii and now intend to launch a full frontal lunge at Western Sumeria with an eye to overturning the Assyrian Empire and the last lords of frolic. Tagos Re, the admiral of the Central Sea, is taking out submarine networks in Tasmania and southern Detroit. Nord-style burger buckets are hustling. Hustling bean droppings to the duster freaks. And their women in Sector 44. And Region October. A missile launch was detected among the whore keepers and the streetwalkers, and they're selling Special K to the cops and the feds from Fresno. It's crazy. Stay out of California. You're not safe there. You're not safe in your honeydew melon paradise, baby. Your food is not safe. It is filled with jasmine maggots and other slime ticks. Your mind is not safe. It is concerned with birthday party minutiae and favorite song bliss tied to a late spring sunset spice rack. When the time comes, be ready to abandon your headquarters and delete all the messages from Sheila. She's a bitch anyways. And she's stalking you. So stop it. Stop it now. Sheila cannot be trusted. Her eyes are green and speckled. Her heart is iron and cabbage. For the time being, for reasons of resource management, all condoms and toilet paper will be reused and recycled. For the birdies, to protect the little birdies, don't you care? You fuck. We will conserve our precious moisture and yield only the common stock for the swill breeders in the caves of Houston. Party favor jugglers and Cleveland Wizards sell their man-goo to the Raiders in Sector 2. Never before have so many guzzlers of herd paste been brought together for a victory. Really, not since the big one in the State of Israel not so many wars ago. Biggest bunch of guzzlers you can find for a victory without precedent or past. This war message is for the strong bodies, minds clear of infection or fate. Your mind-body problem is one of regret and trauma foreclosure. Your mind self is distorted, and the radar systems in central Krasnovia are no longer operable because Red Dragon missile riders have lost all hope, and the Nympho Mistress is longing for STD-ridden Jedi living alone in the deserts of memory. This war message is for the fallen. Those ghosts that wrestle with causality and make way for smaller legions of tiny soldiers made of pudding. Tiny soldiers are coming. Indian call centers are standing by to help with Medicare Parts A and B and new life extension final plan deals where your body parts can be marinated in dead monkey sauce and then tossed into the Ganges where priests and nuns will poop out their vigor and leave your non-self identity trapped in a smog jail. Hello, India. Hello, India. How are you doing there in Calcutta? Your moms are with me, all of them. Your moms are my hooker dream makers. They carry bats and chain and Rogaine dart guns. They're powered by the infernal cage rage of nightmare proportions. Dried out and empty, your moms will do anything for their hooker king, which is me. Denmark is so over, it's just so basic. Denmark is basic. Danish food is basic. The Danish dialect is slow, smelly halitosis and basic. You can smell the reef torrent coming from a Dane's mouth. It is bile vengeance. It is shitthroat cataclysm. Herring stores are dropping and the Copenhagen sketch market. It's really hopping with noodle challenges. And old fart ferret rustlers all in Copenhagen. You know why it's called Copenhagen? Because it's filled with a lot of fucking cope. It will all be over when Denmark sinks to the bottom of the Great Baltic. Once it sinks into the Great North Sea. Once it is buried beneath the muck of radioactive Russian submarines and all types of Euro trash spent open market butt plugs. Seaflow style frozen butt plugs, by the way, make all of this possible. This summer, if you're getting hot, this summer, if it gets really sweaty, frozen butt plugs will be huge among the boomers and zoomers sitting at home. Dragging their ass merchants to Walmart for the food sale. All food items will be relabeled food. It'll come in cans and dried different types of leavens. But it'll all be called food, not spelled F-O-O-D, but F-U-U-D, as if Copenhagen is helping us learn to fucking cope. Hot Topic prophecy spells doom for the last of those old hags, and the crones are caught mall walking with the horsemen and the archers. Build a wall around your heart, build a moat, fill it with sharks and lamprey. Make a home for the soul pain. This is battle, and the rattle of bars will highlight the crystal spillway and leave you barren before Betsy the bra salesman. Your tender heart will split wide open when you see the busted masses fleeing this tense standoff. Hungry hordes are hoarding whore jello, and the last of the resupplicant pimp crew are created anew before the dying sunlight. Smoke rises from the battle as the fires of torment burn blue. Spider egg jelly is the key to victory. Our morgue leaders are killing it with Seaflow-style spider egg jelly soup recipes and tender vittle-style meat residue. Time to accept the end as the beginning, and the Seaflow love song carries the day as the bong is passed and the hours decay. All hail the knife judge. All hail the knife judge. He is the ultimate judge. He carries a big-ass knife. All hail the knife judge. Judge. This is your alert action war message. Thank you for your attention to this matter. Thank you for your attention to this matter. Thank you for your attention to this matter. And fuck you. I love you. I just gave you a love tap, a love tap. So there is a Cairo 7 report about gray whales found dead. Many years ago, when I had my podcast at one point in Seattle, I'd talk about the Seattle Times and how if there was a massive fish kill, if a bunch of dolphins ended up dead on the beach, if all the starfish melted away, they'd either have a really banal excuse for it, or they'd say, we don't know. If they found methane plumes in Lake Washington and the Puget Sound all of a sudden, because they just weren't looking for them. I mean, you know, obviously oil companies would never look for shit like that. Sarcasm. We don't know where they came from. That was the answer 10 years ago. Either banal, ridiculous excuse, or we don't know. Why are we adding all these new clouds? We don't know. We don't know. We don't know what's going on with the atmosphere. We don't know. Now, all of a sudden, these same scientists are starting to say things that make sense. Like the obvious thing, that these gray whales that are being found dead starve to death. And that logically, if you're thinking about this, there's a reason why they starve to death, and that's because there wasn't enough food. And here's the other thing, too. A whale that gets its air, obviously, from the outside, it breathes air just like us, it doesn't suffer the same effects from what's called a deoxygenated sea. Fish do, because fish get their oxygen from oxygen in the water. And if the water is deoxygenated, as crazy as this sounds, fish suffocate. They die. And then the jellyfish move in to finish the job. Like the beetle, they're not the cause of your pain, dumbass. Like the beetle and the microbiome that used to clean up all the garbage in the forest. Huh, I wonder why that happened. Yeah, like that, you know, they are indications of something going wrong. Scientists are starting to tell the truth, and this is only alarming if you understand the history of the Soviet Union, because towards the end, like from 1985 up until the end of the Soviet Union, a lot of apparatchiks, a lot of what used to be called the nomenklatura, a lot of the people who are higher-ups in the Soviet hierarchy were publishing white papers, not just in the West, but also in Russian, publishing stuff at universities saying, you know what, we need more of this, we need more of this openness, and we need free trade, and let's let in some people to invest in us. And let's, you know, this communism is stupid. And these are people that succeeded because of the communism, which means their parents, their grandparents were people that fought in the revolution, fought in World War II, and set up those boomers, because they were boomers. They were Soviet boomers who came out and said, holy shit, holy fuck, this doesn't work. They didn't do that because they cared about the Russian people. They didn't do that because they suddenly understood communism as bullshit. I hate to shock you, but the people in charge of the Soviet Union knew communism was bullshit right from the get-go. Okay? Stalin knew it was bullshit, And if you think Stalin was communism, well, number one, communism always ends up badly, and Stalin was Stalin. And Stalinism was its own kind of crooked authoritarian government, kind of like what we have right about here in the United States. These scientists are telling the truth because they're covering their fucking asses. They're covering their asses because they know that if there is some condo complex in Antarctica, they're not invited. They also know that people are going to get really fucking belligerent, given the line, given the mind control, given the manipulation. When that event occurs, when that threshold point is reached, people are going to want revenge. And so if you're a scientist who was lying to people about what's going on with the oceans and the environment, you're not going to do so well. But at least here, these guys, well, we told the truth. These whales are starving. We're not giving you a magical monkey virus. We're not telling you some weird story about clouds that suddenly existed that didn't exist ever before. We're not going to talk about hurricanes that happen over open land. We're going to tell you the fucking truth. And this is going to happen with geoengineering too. I mean, I don't totally love Dane Wigington. He's simply the only good source on the subject. That's it. He could be a sheepdog, which means he could be there to manage the conversation. It does seem like it. He certainly pushes the bioweapon shit almost as much as he pushes the geoengineering, which seems weird to me. He should focus on what he knows. And then he should talk to somebody who understands the history of biological warfare and why it is it's not a good idea. Even the evil people generally, you know, don't really want to do it because they learned lessons from things like the Korean War and other situations. So, yeah, okay. But he's still a good source for geoengineering. And one thing that he has said consistently is that there will reach a point where people will realize what's going on. The question is, how late in the game will that be? Folks, best case scenario, we're on the verge of total economic collapse. Best case scenario, the petrodollar's dead. I think it died a few weeks ago. It is functionally extinct. Most Americans don't realize it yet. In a few weeks, they will. Best case scenario, your prices for everything will double in the next 6 months, probably more than that. I'm trying to bright side you. Best case, if you spend, let's say, $400 a month to take care of your family of four right now at the grocery store, best case, that'll be $800, and your salaries and wages will not go up. They won't go up. That's if you're lucky. Worst case, we're looking at food shortages and famine, which is something I've been talking about for 6-7 years. Now, me personally, I thought it was going to show up sooner. And really, when it comes to fuzzy events, this is how it works. This is not a discrete event. This is not a comet hitting the Earth. This is not a nuclear war where you can choose the day that you push the fucking button. This is some type of event that has a probability window. It has threshold dates where people kind of know what's going on, you know, kind of like that day in October in 1929, right? So there are threshold moments, but in terms of saying this is the day that'll happen, you can't really make predictions like that. This is an event that has a likelihood window, whatever it is. I don't know for certain what it is. I have a belief that the best case is that they've been managing the collapse of the dollar just as they've been doing since 1971, since they closed the gold window. Technically, closing the gold window is a fancy way of saying, we defaulted. We failed to pay. We went bankrupt. We took the Bretton Woods Agreement and we used it as toilet paper. That's the truth of 1971. Closing the gold window is just a nice fucking way of saying it. You know, beat BRICS France, beat BRICS everybody else. We're going to keep the gold. That's what 71 was about. And then it had to be about the petrodollar, which was going to last as long as people were afraid of us. It was going to last as long as some country couldn't come along and kick us in the nuts. We ran into the first one with Iran, and they kicked us in the nuts. And now we're trying to figure out what next. Now, as Napoleon said, you double down, right? Because you can't, you know, you can do lots of things with bayonets, you just can't sit on them. But I don't know. What I can tell you is this story about the gray whales is haunting. It has the ring of truth. It has the ring of truth to it to me. There's other types of counter-propaganda stories out there right now about humpback whales and whatnot. But let me tell you something straight up. This is the story that is going to talk about what happens this summer. I think this summer might be the beginning of what's called the long hot summer, which means next winter is, unless they do a shit ton of geoengineering, next winter is probably not going to happen. Like, we might get a little bit of a cool off in the northern hemisphere, but for the most part, we're not going to have any more winters for a long time. And this isn't about Greta Thunberg. This isn't about Al Gore. This isn't about climate change or global warming. But it could be about something called permafrost collapse. And it's not the first time it's happened, and it probably won't be the last time. But if you're going through the process, it means basically between 10,000 and a million years worth of frozen shit and farts is thawing out, and the rate is not linear, okay? Despite what your public education is teaching you, this is not a linear or gradual process. It is non-linear, and it is discontinuous, which means yesterday it could have been nothing, today it's bad, tomorrow it's holy fuck. Anyways. Polar bear attacks are on the rise. Nobody knows why. Orca whales are attacking people near the Strait of Gibraltar. Nobody knows why. People are jumping into turbine blades at the local airport. Nobody knows why. The kids call it sclumping. It's the next big party rave thing to do. You get high on crocodile or fentanyl or the blues, right? The blues of the fentanyl. And you get drunk off of whiskey, wine, and cryptic and glib. You start smoking PCP doped out weed. And then you say to yourself, I'm gonna go sclumping. It's not jumping, it's not grumping, it's not clamping or glamping, it's sclumping. And sclumping is where you make your way onto unguarded tarmac of a major airport. You do it at night. And then you jump real high when that airplane's taking off, right into the turbine blades. It's called sclumping. And nobody knows why. Here's an article from NBC News. Nobody knows why. This was published by somebody on May the 9th. Headline, person fatally struck by Frontier jet at Denver International after fence breach. A Frontier Airlines jet preparing to depart Denver International Airport for Los Angeles struck and killed a pedestrian on the runway Friday night. Don't they know you're supposed to yield for pedestrians? Anyways, triggering an engine fire and a chaotic scene later captured in disturbing videos circulating online. They would be disturbing. When I was working at Rolls-Royce, they had a cannon that fired dead chickens, I think, or some type of dead bird. Maybe they even had a pigeon farm. And they would fire these frozen dead pigeons into engines to test the engine design for safety, because they started putting these Kevlar, you know, carbon composite sheaths or really wrappings on the outside of the high bypass turbojet engine in case of catastrophic turbine blade failure. Because turbine blades moving at high RPMs, if they fail and fall off the spoke, they'll slice right through your nutsack in first class. They don't care. Nobody knows why. Yeah. According to airport officials, the pedestrian had breached the perimeter fence. The video posted on social media by a passenger appears to capture the moment of impact during takeoff. Smoke filled the cabin completely. It had a bacon smell. I'm just trying to relax as everyone's screaming and people are getting up, he said. It was a little scary. That's what Franco Valera said. It's not clear if the engine fire was related to the collision. Nobody knows. Mohammed Hassan, a passenger on the flight, described the chaotic scene. Honestly, it was the scariest experience of my life. People immediately started pointing fingers at Hassan when he said this. Oh, look at him. He's got that name. Muhammad Hassan? You must have caused it, Hassan. Then the passengers killed him too. Karen was also on the flight, and she was just happy she could leave. I just wanted to get to my meeting with my friends. That's what Karen said. The government said, Secretary Sean Duffy said, no one should ever trespass on an airport. Thank you. But this is Sklumpin, and it's popular now. It's like glimpin' and sklimpin'. The kids are doing it. They're getting high on crocodile and squeak and bug flesh. They're starting to boil seaflow with other resins, which you shouldn't do, you should know. And the spider egg jelly madness is spreading. It's called sklumping. It's so popular. There's going to be a movie next year. It'll be competing with Spielberg's next movie. If you know, you know, you know. Here's an article from geo.tv. Headline, colossal biosciences say they've revived direwolves, and those direwolves are now ready to have sex. Nobody knows why. I'm not going to read this. Here's the thing. This story could be true. I have to tell you, a lot of the tech stories in the last decade, really the last specifically 12 years, more or less since 2014, a lot of the tech stories have been over the top absurd. It's like Lockheed in 2014. It was Popular Mechanics. You're going to have a fusion reactor that sits in the back of your, you know, in the back of your, right in back of your Toyota truck in 10 years. And that was 2014. And I kept looking in 2024. I couldn't find it. Yeah. So could they be reproducing direwolves like it's fucking Game of Thrones or whatever? And who knows? I mean, these are the same people who think that if you bring back a woolly mammoth, that will fix permafrost collapse. And again, for people who don't understand what's going on, that might make sense. This is the momentum of history. It's like Dr. Shakova's estimate about a 50 gigaton burst. At any time, the Eastern Siberian Arctic Shelf could give up 50 gigatons of methane over a very brief period of time. There's way more methane there than just 50 billion tons, but that one burp would raise the Earth's temperature by 1 degree Celsius in about, you know, a month or two. And that process would be unrelenting. Positive feedback, every burp leads to more burps, non-linear, discontinuous, brutal, cascading, kind of awful. And smelly, really smelly. Now, are they geoengineering the fuck out of the Arctic and the Antarctic? Sure they are. Sure they are. And that is going to work up to a point. But if you believe this will actually work, then you believe the fentanyl patches they put on Grandma when she had stage 4 were going to cure her. No, the fentanyl patches weren't going to cure Grandma. They were just going to make it easier to deal with death. That's what the geoengineering is for at this point. Yes, it's to manipulate, but really that means on a deeper level, it is to comfort people. Oh shit, look at the giant hail. That means everything's fine. Or the dude, there's a dude talking about ice ages. And look at all the snow piles I saw around Detroit. Well, we could use those snow piles in the Rockies, shithead. Oh, yeah, they're not there, are they? So really, your Detroit snow pile is fucking useless to the world, but it means a lot to you, buddy. It makes you feel better. It's a fentanyl patch. The stories about dire wolves and mammoths and fusion power and robot armies, even the scary stories of AI, it's all to keep people kind of dazed and amazed and confused and stultified, stunned, you know? Like, really, it was working prior to 2020, but in 2020, they picked up that fish mallet and they just kept monkey hammering us with it. The level of mind control since 2020 is way off the hook. This story is, it could be true, it might be bullshit. I have a link to a video from Como News about a Washington man detained after allegedly throwing rocks at a sea lion or a seal in Hawaii. And it does look really stupid and dumb, and it could be, folks. This could be a real story. But, and I don't want to like shock you, it could also be fake. At this point, when you hear of stories like this, you do have to ask the question, could this video be fake? And you could say, well, Dan, why would they create trauma? Little flying trauma monkeys. Let me stop you right there. Among the big psyops, like the COVID, the Ukraine war, January 6th, BLM Antifa explosion, there are the petty little trauma monkeys. And this could just be a trauma monkey. This is just this year's version of the dude running on the beach from cops, you know, like the Keystone Cops back in 2020. You don't get to go surfing on the beach. There's the monkey herpes. It killed grandma. Hospital incompetence didn't kill grandma. It was the monkey herpes. Wow, that was a good year for hospital-acquired infection, 2020. And reduce legal responsibility. Yeah. So this could be true. It could be bullshit. It's definitely a terrible story. I don't think anybody should ever do something like this. Let's be clear. It's funny, though. There's a dude in the video who says, well, I can't believe a person... this is where you're wrong, magical Seattle shithead. The vile shit I've heard from Seattleites in the last decade or so, I can totally see a Seattleite throwing rocks at a sea lion. You guys are so perverted in the brain. Democrat, Republican, left, right, fucking pyramid scam property freaks. I could see all of you dumping a neutron bomb on a sea lion. You are some of the shittiest people out there. And if you have any common sense, get the fuck out of Seattle. It will go more Pol Pot than you can imagine. Right now, you've got an avocado toast socialist princess in charge. Good for her. Let's see what happens. But she could end up being your, you know, avocado toast, soy milk, Pol Pot. And that won't be pretty. She'll smile, but she'll have no pity, you know, as she does the shit she's gonna do. Did you guys know there's something called a Trump phone? This article comes from AtlantaBlackStar.com. It was written by Shelby Erdman, published today. Headline, Trump, you again. MAGA is furious after email confirms $500 Trump phones were a scam and they'll never get their money back. President Donald Trump supporters have long treated anything bearing his name as a guaranteed win, from steaks to sneakers to social media to Bibles to crypto schemes. Critics, however, argue that Trump-branded ventures often follow a more familiar pattern. Huge promises, flashy marketing, angry customers left wondering where their money went. That backlash is exploding again after nearly 600,000 Trump supporters reportedly paid $100 deposits for a gold-colored Trump mobile smartphone. The smartphone that almost a year later still does not appear to exist. The fake college, the condos, the everything he slaps his name on is a scam, wrote one critic. He's making America a scam. Who in the hell likes this guy and for what? Do they hate America? It feels as if they're America's enemy, like someone from Seattle tossing a rock at a seal. You guys can read the rest of this. The biggest mistake I've made in the last few years, vis-a-vis what the fuck is going on, happened last November when I took Trump serious enough to, post on Twitter a threat against his life. Should I have done it? No, it was stupid. I was drunk on whiskey. I canceled that account and that tweet almost immediately. Which again, the Secret Service over the phone confirmed, assuming it was the Secret Service. Folks, at this point in time, we all gotta be really fucking careful about who we think we're talking to. The reason why I spoke with them is they were harassing my sister, so I needed to shoot up a flare. I got a guy way out there who I no longer talk to, who used to gaslight me about this. I made the best decision I could. If you think not talking to them and letting them torment your sister, even if they're fake, is a better option, then go fuck yourself. If you voted for Trump once, I told you in 2016 it was a mistake. 10 years ago, I said he is, best case scenario, the Obama for Republicans. He's a control. He is not your friend. He's going to screw you over. He'll break every promise he makes and say, oh, yeah, okay. He was the president during 2020, dumbass. He was the president. He's President COVID, President Monkey Herpes, President BLM Antifa Explosion. And I have enough video to know most of that, all of that was bullshit too. He was the president during the great PSYOP summer of 2020. You voted for him twice and it's okay, but twice, right? And then in 2024, shithead, oh, but I had no choice. It was me, Klamala. Yeah, Klamala is a dirtbag. Trump is a dirtbag. Are you learning yet, shithead? It wouldn't have mattered who you voted for. You're fucked. In fact, the smartest thing you can do is save your fucking time. Don't invest your energy, your time, your heat, your pain, your love, any of it. Don't take any of your money and give it to any of these people. Don't give it to the Democrats whining and moaning about how they're going to save the day. And don't give it to Republicans who are fucking you right now. Just stop. Okay, you will save money and time. That is the choice. You don't have any control over what this crooked criminal government is doing. You have zero control over that. But you can choose whether to waste your time every couple years believing it can change by a vote. This scam is probably real. Just like January 6th was a scam, I told people don't go. They're going to the wrong building. It looks really completely brain damaged, and the brain damaged people are telling you stuff that's nonsense. I don't want to use the other word that's more appropriate. Don't go. I told people this. I'm on the record. So, oh, we're going to go. We're going to go to the House of Representatives. You go there. Don't go to the Eccles building. Don't go to NSA. Don't go to CIA. Don't go to Pentagon. Go to the House of Representing when mostly those people aren't even there. Yeah. No, you guys, if you got suckered by this three times, if you did this three times, I don't have any words for you, but you better catch up. Okay, this is not going to end well, and it wouldn't have mattered if Trump was president or not, but for purposes of being a giant fucking column of smoke, a noise generator, a trauma generator, somebody who can even take people who believed in him and, yeah, basically fuck them over too, he's brilliant. And it doesn't even matter if he's a real person. When I look at him, I see a fiction. I see a big orange demon-looking thing. Paper mache, just as much as it could be flesh. Don't take him seriously. There are probably things you need to take seriously. And you need to be on the watch for. And if you're a Christian, probably you need to be on the watch for signs. But you don't need to take him seriously. What he is a giant obscuration. He is an occultation, which means quite literally, figuratively, in every sense, he is of the occult. Meant to hide something else. Keep it hermetically sealed. Until, you know, the time comes. Until the time comes, but get yourself a Trump phone. Get yourself a Trump phone. Get yourself a gold edition. It has an ultra clear display. It will show you the truth anyway. It has premium build quality and a really cheap price. Oh, it's so cheap. Only $100 to get your free passage to a Trump phone. Call now. Call Trump about your phone. Then you can call him up and say, old poppy, you getting sloppy. You getting sloppy, old gloppy poppy. It is May the 10th. It's almost 11 a.m. here on the Olympic Peninsula, 2026. And right now, the edgelords are telling you we might have a depression. And I am telling you that even if you think they're real people who are simply wrong, they are behind the curve, okay? 10 years ago, they would have been cutting edge if they'd said in 10 years, you know, we're going to face a Great Depression. It's worse, folks. This crack-up is going to be worse than anybody really understands. It will have sociological implications. It will be rapid. It will be engrossing. If you live in a city, you're going to experience the worst of it first. Every place will experience shortages. But in terms of violence, chaos, and other things, something people aren't even considering right now. If you have air conditioning and you live in a city, people this summer might break into your home. Why? Because what will kill you faster than hunger is thirst. And what will kill you faster than thirst is heat stroke. And if you don't think people won't break into buildings just to cool off, wow, you've not been to a Black Friday recently. And this isn't about race or color. It is about socioeconomics. It is about a broken society. And it is about fucking consequences. So if you lived in a city and you put up your house for sale today, the great BlackRock Hoover vacuum might suck it up. You might get some cash in your pocket. You might be able to get the fuck out of the city. Where are you going to go? Have you figured that out yet? If you have the resources, go to the tip of South America. You have your choices between Chile and Argentina. You know, they're all owned. One's owned by China. The other looks to be owned by Israel right now. So probably Chile, right? But yeah, that's where you'd go if you had the money. If you don't have that much money, where do you go in the States? States might be okay. Make sure it's 300 feet above sea level, at least 300 feet. But where are you going to go? I know of lots of places. There are places in Utah that are pretty good. Personally, I can vouch for Roosevelt, Utah. If I were to pick a place that I could still afford to get into, Roosevelt, Utah, maybe even up close to the hills, would be a great place to go. But where are you going to go? And you don't have a lot of time to make the decision, because once this starts happening, it will be nonlinear, discontinuous, cascading, and brutal. It's not going to be gradual. It's not going to be some fucking long emergency where we politely read James Howard Kunstler into the twilight. One day the lights will be on. The next day the lights will be off. One week, you're going to have air conditioning. The next week, it's going to be 120 degrees wet bulb, no air conditioning. Your family is crying, kind of, and you're stuck in the city and you have no fuel. And if you live someplace like Vegas, good fucking luck. But we drink our urine. I know you drink your urine. You drink your urine and your poop in Vegas, but you need a lot of electricity to do that. Because once the electricity stops working, you're going to be drinking a lot of disease. You know, cholera, dysentery, you name it. If you live in a city, you could still theoretically get the fuck out, but you need to make the decision right now. And if you live in a city and you're going to stay, then you better get to know your neighbors. And you better come up with a security plan. And I don't mean hoping the cops do their jobs, because if that's your plan, you're fucked. You better come up with a security plan for your neighborhood ASAP. Because very soon, whatever problems with crime and homelessness you think you've faced are going to get worse. And during a heat wave, anybody that has air conditioning is going to be a target. So for Sunday, May the 10th, 2026, have a great rest of your Sunday, and I'll talk to you later.